studying the blood covenant. And we've been really drilling down, digging deep. I've been giving you all of the information that I have on this mystery in the scriptures of the blood covenant that we have with God. And as you begin to dig deep into it, the light begins to shine, and we even start seeing God in a whole new light. We see him more clearly, his character, his operations, how he interacts with the entire human race, not just his people, but also not just the believers, but the unbelievers as well. And I believe that this is one of the most greatest revelations that we can get, the revelation of the blood covenant in our journey of faith with God. It will strengthen our faith and give us confidence to claim the promises of God, to walk boldly into the throne room of God, and even to be bold in the face of our enemy. But we've got to understand where this confidence comes from. It must come from our covenant that we have with the living God. Recently, we've been looking about, like I said, the covenant that God cut with Abraham. We know it as the Abrahamic covenant. And I've got to just focus on that today because it's such a significant covenant in the Old Testament. The Abrahamic covenant. Why is it so significant? Well, number one, because of this covenant that God cut with himself in Genesis chapter 15, and Abraham became a beneficiary to the covenant, because of the Abrahamic covenant, it gives God a legal right to bring Christ Jesus into the world to be our Redeemer. And it's very clear in Scripture. If you missed last week's message, you've got to go back and listen to it, please. And so this covenant that God cuts with Abraham becomes the Abrahamic covenant. It becomes the window, the portal, the open door for God to bring his own son into the world to be our Redeemer. It's a great mystery, and it's very, very deep and profound. The second reason why the Abrahamic covenant is so significant is because the blessings of the Abrahamic covenant, they apply to us today. They're intact. God has not withdrawn them or deleted the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham, and you're going to see it by the end of the message, the blessing of Abraham belongs to those who are in Christ Jesus. How could I say that? I could say that because you and I as believers, we are the seed of Abraham through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the case I'm about to make over the next couple of minutes. You see, according to the scripture, the Abrahamic covenant is an everlasting covenant. So go ahead and say that. An everlasting covenant. It says it very explicit in the Old Testament scriptures. It's an everlasting covenant. It wasn't short term. It wasn't short lived. It lives on forever. It's an everlasting covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. And so that becomes good news for you and me because it's an everlasting covenant. And even though we're under a new covenant in Christ, right? We're under a new covenant now, not the Old Testament covenant. We're under a new covenant with Christ. Here's the thing, the Abrahamic covenant still impacts our lives today. Why? Because the blessing of the Abrahamic covenant, it never died. It extends through the cross of Jesus Christ into this new covenant that we have with God through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say it again. The blessings of the Abrahamic covenant did not die off under the old covenant. They extended through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ into the new covenant we have with God through his son, Jesus. You have to remember that when someone enters into a blood covenant, remember it means that their descendants are heirs of that same covenant. So I'm here today to say to you as a believer, son and daughter of God, Listen closely. You are a descendant of Abraham. Listen to that. Now I will build my case and show it to you in the scriptures. You see, some of you might say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Rob, I am not a Jew. I have no descendants back to Israel. I'm not a Hebrew or back to being a Hebrew. Oh, by the way, little praise report. Pastor Gail and I just did Ancestry.com, and I did mine before hers, so I got my results in. And I found out that the majority of me is Italian. Well, I knew that. I got a nice portion that is Greek. And get this one, folks. Are you ready? I knew this was true. I was just waiting for it to come on the map. I am 1% Nigerian. Come on now. Come on now. I knew it. I knew it. I just needed the proof. I'm 1% Nigerian, baby. Woo! Jesus. My God. Okay. So let's go ahead and get back to Abe. Old Abe. You might say, well, I'm not Jewish. I don't have any Hebrew in my heritage. I cannot be traced back to Abraham. And so that means, doesn't the Abrahamic blessing belong to the descendants of Abraham? Let me make a powerful statement right now, and then I want to break it down with several verses. Listen closely to my statement. The true sons and daughters of Abraham are believers in Christ. They become the heirs of the blessing of Abraham. That's a powerful statement. You got to listen to me. Just because one is a natural descendant, in other words, in the flesh, just because one is a natural descendant of Abraham does not make that person an heir to the covenantal blessing. I know that could upset people, but this isn't my philosophy or my great idea. This is the scripture. Just because one is a natural descendant to Abraham doesn't make them an heir to the covenantal blessing. The only way that we enter into the blessing of Abraham, it has to go through Messiah. You've got to go through Messiah Jesus to enter into the Abrahamic blessing. You see, after Jesus came, after the cross, after the cross, both Jew and Gentile, in other words, after the cross, everybody's got to go through Messiah Jesus to become an heir of the Abrahamic blessing. There's no favorites, folks. You got to come through Jesus. That's an eye-opener for people. You might say, well, that's really mean to people with the Hebrew heritage. Listen, this is the scriptures. There is no salvation outside of the blood of the cross and the person of Jesus Christ. You must go through the Messiah. If it just had to do with your natural heritage, then Jesus died in vain. We wouldn't need a Messiah. So I'm going to make that statement again, and then we're going to move on. The only way to enter in to the blessing of Abraham is through Messiah Jesus. It goes for the Jews and the Gentiles alike. Now in Galatians chapter 3, the Holy Spirit builds the case that the only way that one could be made right with God is by faith in Jesus Christ, not by our works. Galatians chapter 3, the whole chapter. And in Galatians 3, the Holy Spirit uses Abraham as our example. Doesn't matter our natural heritage. Doesn't matter how good we are as a person. We've got to go through faith in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that text, Abraham is our example of faith. Look at it. Let me give you some verses, very important. Galatians 3, verse 6. Listen closely. So Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So it wasn't because of Abraham's works that he was temporarily deemed justified and righteous in the sight of God. It was his faith. He believed God. Verse 9. So those who rely on faith, you and I, are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Verse 14. He, Christ, redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. The blessings of Abraham are to come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Look at verse 29. Here's the clincher. If you belong to Christ, that's me, that's you, then you are Abraham's seed. And you are heirs according to the promise. You got to go through Jesus. So I'll say it again. Not all Jews are the children of Israel or the seed of Abraham. And not all of them are heirs according to the promise. They must go through Messiah, Jesus. And let me look at it a little bit deeper in Romans chapter 9. Look at this. Romans 9, look carefully. For not all, look how clear it is. For not all who are descendants from Israel are Israel. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me, please. Not all. I'm not anti-Semitism at all. No, not at all. I support all human beings coming to Christ. Because all are sinners and lost, they all must come through Christ, regardless of your descendants in the flesh. You all must come to Christ. Everybody, nobody gets in unless they go through the mediator to get to God. Jesus, Messiah, Yeshua. Look at this. For not all who are descendants, somebody's getting mad out there. You just better listen. Not all who are descendants from Israel are Israel, nor are they all children because they are of the seed or natural seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called, that is, those who are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. I wish I had so much more time to dig deeper, but listen. Who are the children of the promise that are counted as the seed? The children of the promise are those who have accepted the promise. Christ the Messiah. So what Paul is saying here is that the only those who have accepted the Messiah are the true seed of Abraham. He, Abraham, is our father, the head representative of the covenant, and you and I are his children. Therefore, we receive the blessing of the covenant. And now I got to take you just one step deeper. Paul nails it down in the next verse. Look at this, Galatians 3, 16. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. See, Romans said seed, not plural. He didn't say seeds of Abraham. Seed meaning one. Look what Paul says. He's going to show us what this means. The promises were spoken to Abraham and his seed. Scripture does not say seeds, plural, meaning many people. Look what Paul says, but to your seed, singular, meaning one person. So now Paul is saying the promise given to Abraham that he would have a seed, singular, was a messianic prophecy, folks. It was a prophecy of the seed that would come into the world, and all the nations of the world, earth would be blessed by the singular seed. And so he says here, look at it. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say seeds, meaning many people, but your seed, singular. And then he says, meaning one person who is Christ. So the covenant that God made with Abraham was made to Abraham and to his seed, singular, one person. Again, prophetically speaking about the one that would come and bless the nations of the world, Messiah. That's a messianic scripture. The promise is to Abraham and the seed. Verse 29 of Galatians 3, if you belong to Christ, me and you, then you are Abraham's seed. So I can't be Abraham's seed unless I'm in the one seed. I've got to be in the real seed, the one seed, the Messiah seed. When I come to Christ, I'm identified with him. I'm in the seed. Therefore, God sees me as the seed. Come on now. Come on now. I am the seed of Abraham, not because of where I was born and who my natural descendants were. It's because of my faith in Christ, the one seed that was promised, the Messiah that came into the world. And so if you are in Christ, you inherit the blessing of Abraham, because through faith we are in the seed of Abraham. My God, say it. Go ahead and say it. I'm in Christ. Go ahead and say it at home. I'm in Christ. You've got to get this down and believe this. I am in Christ. Therefore, I am the seed of Abraham. And the blessings of Abraham come upon me because I am a descendant of Abraham. That's the truth. That's the truth. I want to talk to you about the threefold blessing of the seed of Abraham. It's very serious. Before I do, I want to quickly look back at Abraham's faith journey with God. Just a quick recap. As we started to look at the man Abraham, we realized that God was really taking him on a journey. A journey of growing in faith and knowing who God was. We see different moments where God revealed himself in a deeper way to his man Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, the first thing that we saw is Abraham was awakened to his destiny. God taps him on the shoulder and gives him a promise and basically says that I am going to use you to bless the nations of the world, because out of your seed, the nations of the world will ultimately be blessed. So there's an awakening to destiny, an awakening to a purpose in his life. And then when you get to Genesis chapter 15, God cuts a covenant of protection and provision with Abraham. That covenant of Genesis 15, when he split the animal in two, and there was the smoking furnace and the blazing torch that walked through the way of blood. Remember that, Genesis 15. God cuts a covenant of protection and provision with Abraham and says to Abraham that he, God, would be his shield and his exceeding great reward. When you get to Genesis 17, God introduces himself to Abraham as El Shaddai. Listen to the message last week. El Shaddai, and in this revelation, God is wanting to take Abraham even deeper into a deeper place with God, knowing him as El Shaddai, the many-breasted God. And then when you get to Genesis chapter 22, we see that God tests, not the devil, God tests the loyalty of his covenant friend. Abraham, were you serious when you gave me your robe? Were you serious when you said you lose yourself to me? Were you serious when you were circumcised? Were you serious, Abraham, when you made a covenant with me and promises to me to walk blameless and upright before me and never worship another God, that I would stay first in your life? So God tests Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. And so when I look at this progression of growing in the faith, I see that you and I are on the same journey. I mean, it's pretty much identical. God awakens us in the new birth. God becomes alive. Spiritual things becomes alive. We start getting a glimpse of maybe God wanting to use us in the future. And then God manifests his faithfulness to us as we enter into this covenant with God. And then God wants to take us into a place of sanctification in deeper places with God, where he would come and minister to our soul and free us from the things that bind us. And so that is El Shaddai, a deeper place with the Lord. And then all of us, our covenant will be tested. All of us, our commitments will be tested, and they will be tested by fire. And so in a moment, we're going to fast forward a few hundred years. We're still talking about Abraham and the covenant God had with him. And once again, I want to look at our covenant-keeping God as we fast forward 400 years. God is still being fresh, still giving us insight that he is loyal to his covenants. The covenant he cut in blood with Abraham 400 years later. Watch this. First of all, I want to go back to Genesis 15, and we'll speed it forward 400 years. This is where the covenant was made with Abraham. I can't read the whole thing. I just want to show you one little piece. This was the covenant. Remember, Abraham went into a deep sleep. And God cut covenant with himself, the smoking furnace, the burning torch. God made promises to him. But look at the first portion, Genesis 15. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. And then the Lord said to him, "Know for certainty that 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated there." Then God promises him, "I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age." That's the promise. His descendants would go into a land that was foreign. They would become slaves for 400 years. But after 400 years, God says he will deliver them. Not only deliver them, but they will come out with great possessions, and God will bring them into their land. My God, now let's fast forward 400 years into the future. The setting is in the land of Goshen in northern Egypt. Abraham's descendants have been living in northern Egypt, in Goshen, for 400 years. Abraham's long gone. 400 years, they're slaves in Egypt, just like the prophecy said. When they first went into Egypt, they were a family of 70 people, it says in Exodus 1. A family of seven, but now they have grown to a nation in Egypt of several million people. They multiplied so much that the king of Egypt felt very threatened, and he made them slaves to suppress them, and he forced them into cruel, inhumane labor and treated them basically like animals more than people. 400 years of this. Follow me. After 400 years of oppression, in their darkest hour, they cry out to the God of their father, Abraham. This is all connected. The Abrahamic covenant, 400 years later, they cry out to the God of their father Abraham to deliver them. Exodus 2, verse 23, look what it says. God hears their cry and remembers his covenant with Abraham. Do you see that? 400 years later, the prophecy is unfolding exactly how God prophesied it to Abraham when he made covenant with him. 400 years later, the people are groaning and crying out to God. And God remembers. It says he remembers the promise that he made to Abraham and his seed, that the land of Canaan would be their inheritance. But they can't enjoy the land of Canaan while they're slaves in Egypt. And so God remembers the promises or the covenant he made with Abraham. So folks, when they cried out, God had an obligation based on a covenantal oath. He already promised Abraham. He didn't just show up and decide to deliver them. There was a covenant made. Come on now. He made a covenant. You got to see the continuity, the connecting points. There was a covenant made to Abraham. It will get dark for your people, but I tell you today, I will bring them out. I promise you with an oath. And so now, 400 years later, listen, this is absolutely incredible. Somebody in Goshen, somebody began to ask questions and say, wait, didn't God promise Father Abraham that after 400 years, he would come and deliver us? Time's up. God, deliver us. God, deliver us. One cry traveled to two cries, to a whole family, to several families, to communities in Goshen, until everybody was one voice and one sound to the God of Abraham. And they began to exert their covenant rights. God, you said you would free your people. Come on now. Says here, God, they heard the cry. God remembered his covenant with Abraham. Come on now. And then God came. We know the story. He delivered his people. Somebody say delivered. Somebody say deliverance. You got to understand that deliverance belongs to God's people. And every deliverance, whether it's healing, breaking of bondages, freedom from anything that binds you in life, all deliverance comes through the blood of the covenant. And God makes promises to his people that he will deliver his people. But you got to cry out to God for your deliverance. You got to want it more than you want anything else in life. But it belongs to you. It belongs to you. I still got a little bit of time. Woo! Zechariah 9:11. As for you also, look at this scripture. Because of the blood of the covenant, I will set your prisoners free, God said, from the waterless pit. Deliverance is attached to the blood covenant. It's yours. God wants you to be free. And so as the story continues, we're going to look at these three basic blessings. It's simple, but they're yours. It belongs to you. It's a covenant right. I'm only giving you three basic ones. Three basic blessings from the Abrahamic covenant that belong to you in Christ. There's no question about it. The first one is protection. God calls on Moses in exile. Raises up his man as an instrument. Remember the story. Moses is sent to Pharaoh. Demands the release of God's covenant people. He tells the Egyptian leader, let my people go. Let my people go. We know the story. Pharaoh hardens his heart. The plagues of judgment sweep throughout the land of Egypt. Plague upon plague. You know the story. Stroke upon stroke until we get to the last plague. The stroke would fall upon the uncovenanted firstborn in Egypt. And with this decree of judgment, the Lord gives specific instructions for Moses to tell the Hebrews, God's covenant people, that they would be protected in the land of Goshen. And we talked about this when we first went into quarantine. Remember the story, quarantined in the house of blood? Remember that message? Well, that's the story. And so we talk about promises God made with Abraham. 400 years later now, we're going to see the blessings of Abraham 400 years later, coming to God's covenant people. The first one is protection. In Exodus chapter 12, God gives Moses the instructions to tell the people that every descendant of Abraham, remember, they were to take that lamb, bring it to the doorstep of their home, one for each household, slay the lamb, take the blood of the lamb with some hyssop, put it on the doorpost and the lintel of their home, dip it in the blood, strike the house with blood, and then enter into the house. In verse 13, it says, the blood will be a sign for you on the house where you are. I love the way God said it. He didn't say the blood's going to be a sign for me. The blood's a sign for you. It's your sign. His blood, your sign. Come on now. His blood, your sign. In fact, the word sign is the word signature. God says, I'm putting my signature in blood upon your house. He says this, the blood will be a signature on the house where you are. God's signature, my covenant. Come on now, my protection. Verse 3, and God says, when I see my signature, I will pass over. I will pass over. No destruction or plague will touch you. Look what the Lord is saying right here. When I see the signature of blood, I will pass over. That means hover over. Hover over. It means hover over. Not pass over. How you guys doing? I see the blood and move on. No. God says, when I see the signature of blood, I'm going to hover over your house or protect your house by way of shielding you. Shield. God was saying, when I see the signature of blood, I'll be your shield. Come on now. Remember what he told Abraham in Acts 15 and in Genesis 15? Abraham, don't be afraid. I am your what? Shield. I'm your shield. And here 400 years later, he's telling his covenant people, I'll hover over you. The destroyer won't take you out. Why? Because I made a covenant 400 years prior with Abraham, your father. And you are beneficiaries. Now, I am your shield. Protection is part of the blood covenant. My God, God is being faithful to keeping his covenant. And so the only protection that they had was found in the blood covenant or the blood-stained house. That's the blood covenant. They were instructed to go into the house. It's our blood covenant and stay there. That's the blood covenant. They could have stepped out of the house in the middle of the night. They would have been vulnerable to the destroyer. But as long as they stayed in the blood-stained house, the blood covenant, as long as they stayed in the blood covenant, stay in the covenant with God. You can get out of the covenant if you choose, but you will be vulnerable to destruction, even eternal destruction. Get in the covenant and stay in the covenant with God. And we know the story about Psalm 91. I do want to show you one verse because I taught on this somewhere recently. But Psalm 91, a lot of theologians say that this is the psalm of protection. And it speaks about when God delivered them from Egypt and how God protected them. They relate it back to the deliverance, the Exodus, or Passover, that night that the destruction fell upon Egypt. I believe that's so true. I'll tell you why. I'm gonna pin it back to it right now. Look at Psalm 91, just the first two verses. That's all I want to say. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Secret place, shadow. Secret place, it's a place. The shadow, that's the blood covenant. Look what it says. You will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. There it is. My protection, my fortress, and God I will trust. He says the shadow of the Almighty. See that word Almighty? That's the name for God. You know what that is in the Hebrew? Shaddai. Shaddai. The first time we see El Shaddai is in Genesis 15 when God cuts a covenant with Abraham. Now it pops up in Psalm 91. I'm telling you, it tells me that this psalm is tied back to the blood covenant God cut with Abraham. My God. I am Almighty God. I am El Shaddai, he tells Abraham. My God. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood covenant we have with you. Come on now, let your faith rise. Thank God for the blood covenant he has with you. God, you cut a blood covenant with us. Oh God, 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 it would be foolish for us to think that we can never step out of the blood covenant. Oh yes, we can. Yes, we can. We could turn our back on the blood. We could turn our back. We could tread upon the blood of Jesus as of being a worthy cause. Scriptures say in Hebrews, we can walk out of the covenant. Oh God, that we would stay in the blood covenant with you and that we would walk upright with you. God, that we would stay committed to you, that you would be the Lord of our life. Oh God, thank you for your blood and thank you for your protection. Real quick, the second blessing, the second provision or the promise is provision. Provision. Back to Egypt. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 20, they're still in Egypt. God tells, makes a promise to Moses, and he says, Moses, when I deliver you, when I deliver the people, this is right before the deliverance, God says to Moses, when I deliver the people, they're going to come out with the spoils of Egypt. They're going to come out with the spoil. Remember what God said to Abraham in Genesis 15? When they do come out, they're going to come out with great substance. They're going to come out with great wealth. They're not going to come. God promised prophetically he's going to deliver them, but not empty-handed. He's going to bring them out with great reward, great substance. Now, 400 years later, God tells Moses, tell the people to get ready. Here's the instructions. And when you are delivered, I'm bringing you out. He tells Moses that they would leave with the spoils of Egypt. Look at the verse right here in Exodus 3, verse 20. So I will stretch out my hand, I'll strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. And after that, Pharaoh, will let my people go. Verse 21, and I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed towards this people so that when you leave, you will not go out empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and clothing, which you will put on your sons and your daughters, and so you will plunder the Egyptians. Let's just put this down in a nutshell. There's a plundering of the enemy, a plundering of the Egyptians. We could say this, there is the transfer of wealth. A transference. God is saying there's a transference of wealth from the wicked to be placed into the hands of the righteous. Come on now. That's part of the promise. And so he's basically telling them that everyone that is part of my covenant will ask of their Egyptian neighbors, their silver, their gold, their costly jewels and raiment or clothing, and they will give it to you. There will be a supernatural transference. There will be a divine favor that will fall upon Egypt towards God's people. Judgment is about to come on the Egyptians, but there will be a transference of the wealth of the wicked into the hands of God's covenant people. Come on now. They were slaves for 400 years. God is a good record keeper. He sure is. God will recompense and he will reward you. His name in the Old Testament is Jehovah Gamola. That means the Lord of the recompense or the Lord of the payback. I'm not talking about when you make a mess out of your own life. I'm not talking about when you live in rebellion and live in sin. God's not going to repay you a blessing. God can get you out of it if you repent. God can bless you, but there's no reward for what you lived through the repercussions of your own sin. There's no reward for that, but there is a reward if there is a thief that robs from you, if there is an oppressor that oppresses you and takes advantage of you. There is a reward and there is justice to those who have been taken advantage of, those who were innocent, but they were mistreated. There is justice, and God says that when I show my justice, I am going to reward you. I'm going to pay it back, and I'm going to pay it back with interest. You're going to be recompensed. I take good notes and records of what's happened in your life, and you will be blessed, and more will be added to you, and I will show you my favor, and I will bless you. Why? Why? Because you were innocent, and you were taken advantage of. Jehovah Gamola says, I'm going to pay it back to you with interest. Come on now. Come on now, Jesus. Favor was released on God's covenant people for provision to come into their life, double for their trouble. I don't know. Some of us, the enemy has just come in and robbed from us during this whole pandemic. Wasn't your fault. You were a good worker. You didn't do anything wrong. You didn't squander your money. Come on, this would be one of those situations. This would be one of those situations. But the enemy comes in and robs and steals and shuts you down and shuts your business down, shuts your way of earning income, shuts it down. Could God be saying, I am Jehovah Gamola, I am the God of the recompense, I see what has happened, and even though the enemy has robbed from you and taken from you, I'm going to restore it, and I'm going to restore it within. Can you believe God for that? Father God, in the name of Jesus, come. Come and pay back what the enemy has stolen. Come back, Lord. You said you would restore what the thief has taken. Even sevenfold would come back into our life. Lord, we look for this as children of Abraham and heirs according to the promise in Jesus' name. Let me give you the third one real quick. The first one was protection. The second one was provision. It's part of the blood covenant. The third one, real simple, real easy. It's healing. Healing. As we close this up, in Psalm 105, verse 37, it says, David's talking about the Exodus. He also brought them out with silver and gold. David, the psalmist said, when God delivered them, he brought them out with the silver and the gold. I want to remind everybody, don't ever forget that. God brought them out. Why? Why? Because God recompensed his people. He brought them out and they had the spoils of Egypt. The silver and the gold, David said, but didn't stop there. David also said something else. There was not one feeble one among them. When they left Egypt, oh my God, how could this possibly be? When you understand what's going on back then, there are 3 million people in Goshen, like sardines, as slaves under the Egyptians. You telling me there were no feeble people in the natural? Feeble means weak, sick, deformed, physically or emotionally disabled or handicapped. See, this is something you got to see here. This is powerful. If you ever watch any of the old movies of the Ten Commandments, you know, back there in 1956 with Charlton Heston, I saw it, but not when it came out, obviously. That was way before my time. But I watched one of those old movies with Charlton Heston, The Ten Commandments. And when they were coming out of Egypt, they were leaving that early in the morning, and they were coming out, and they were coming out with their canes, and people were in the stretchers, and they were carrying the sick people, and the people were in IVs, and, you know, they were coming out the healthy and the sick and the feeble. But that's not the way it was. I said, that's not the way it was. Because David said there was not one feeble, there was not one sick, there was not one deformed, there was not one who was physically disabled. You got to remember, they were living in horrible conditions. You better believe there were many, many sick among them. The horrible cruelty that they lived under, they were abused, they were beaten, they shed broken bones. Come on, out of 3 million people, this is absolutely amazing. It's talking about the wonders of the blood covenant. God says there wasn't one feeble one among them. Even though many were sick when they came out, God is attaching it to the blood covenant. Come on, something happened that night when they sprinkled the blood on the door. Something was happening that night as they were sleeping. Strength was coming into their body the next morning when the doors opened and they began to exodus. They began to exit Egypt. Everyone was being healed. Come on now. Everyone was being healed. Bones were coming together. What does that say to me? It says to me that healing comes in the blood of Jesus. Healing is part of the Abrahamic blessing that belongs to his seed. It belongs to you. Protection belongs to you because of the blood. Come on. Provision belongs to you because of the blood. Healing belongs to you because of the blood of Jesus. Because the blood that was shed, it's part of the Abrahamic blessing. All three of those dynamics were part of the promise that God made with Abraham. How do I know healing was? Pastor Rob, you didn't prove it to me. How do I know healing is part of the Abrahamic blessing? I'm closing right here. Luke chapter 13. You don't have to read anything. Just listen. Do you remember when Jesus healed the woman with the spirit of infirmity? It says there in Luke that this woman was bowed down for 18 years. 18 years, couldn't lift herself up. 18 years walking around like this. What a sad sight. Jesus comes on the scene. Bible said she couldn't in no way lift herself up. So it wasn't like just part of the day. Every day she slept like this, she ate like this, she washed like this, she lived like this. Jesus comes on the scene, says to the woman, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And immediately the Bible says she became whole immediately. And then the scriptures say when the religious folks began to grumble that Jesus would do something like this on the religious day, the Sabbath. You know nobody's supposed to work on the Sabbath. What a religious devil, demon, sick thing that happened. As this woman becomes made whole, they are worshiping their tradition. More than anything, a miracle happened. She was healed. And Jesus said this to the ones that were grumbling, "Ought not this woman, who is a daughter of Abraham, be loosed this day from this infirmity?" Ought. The strongest word in the English language is the word ought. There's an obligation in the word ought. Ought not this. This is not right. Why is it not right, Jesus? Because this woman who was bound by Satan is a seed of Abraham, a daughter of Abraham. So Jesus was telling you, telling me, telling everyone that healing is in the Abrahamic covenant. Jesus says it right here. You're the seed of Abraham. I'm telling you right now, healing belongs to you through the blood of Jesus. Provision belongs to you, and yes, even prosperity belongs to you through the blood of Jesus. Divine protection belongs to you through the blood of Jesus. We're going to receive communion right now. It's appropriate. Get your elements. The elements represent the broken body, the shed blood of Jesus, the new covenant that was cut, but promised back in Genesis 15 when the Father and the Son walked through the way of blood. And now Jesus dies on the cross. Before he dies, he tells his disciples, you take the bread and you take the cup. This is my body that is broken for you. It's my body that's broken for you. Healing is in the broken body. By his stripes we are healed. It's part of the Abrahamic covenant. Ought not healing belong to the children of God? It's the children's bread. It's the children's portion. Healing. As we take our communion today, Receive the promise of healing coming into your body. Receive the promise of provision that God is going to restore what the enemy has stolen from you. God's going to pay the enemy back. And you're going to come out. You're coming out with the spoils of Egypt. That God is going to be the one that protects you. He is your fortress. And he is your shield. Lord, we honor you and thank you for the blood and the body that was broken for us. You are my shield, my protection. You are my exceeding great reward. And you are the healer and deliverer of my soul, of my body, of my mind. Lord, as we receive communion today, let your healing power and your virtue come into our bodies and into our life. As we recognize the new covenant we have with you and the death of Jesus and also his resurrection, giving us eternal life and new life, we receive the promises. We're heirs to the Abrahamic blessing. We receive the promises through Christ Jesus, our Messiah. Today in Jesus' name, manifest your virtue in our lives. Amen. And amen. You could go ahead and take the elements, both of them. Hallelujah. Enjoy the rest of your day today. It's been a pleasure coming into your home and bringing God's word. We're going to keep you updated on our reopen and give you some more details. God bless you, and go and stay in the blood covenant of God and enjoy the benefits of your covenant in Jesus' name. Be blessed.